All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Sabre Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, May 15th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had golf and the PGA Championship Major get underway earlier today. Good luck to all of you playing this weekend. We had a four-game early MLB slate also get underway this evening. We have a two-game MLB night slate. We have a single NBA showdown between the Thunder and the Nuggets, and then we have a two-game NHL playoff slate as well. So plenty of DFS action coming at you all day here. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays, typically at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Small schedule update this week in particular. No office hours tomorrow or Saturday, so no office hours Friday or Saturday. This will be the last show of the week, and I moved the Build Review show to today. So at 5 p.m. Eastern today, we will be going live to review users' builds on stream. So that'll be fun as well. All right, did have a number of questions come in before the show today, so that's always a good thing. So let's get SaberSim up here, and I think we're going to be focusing on this NBA showdown contest just because I think this will probably be like biggest prizes of the night from what is left that has not locked already. So first question of the day, I am someone who is used to playing almost every slate available for cash games across basically all sports with minimal bankroll commitment per slate. And I've had success with that. Trying to translate that to GBP play with the DFS profit plan, would you recommend playing a lower bankroll percentage and still playing a lot of these uncorrelated slates? Or would you advise picking one or two main slates to play? I asked because I saw the profit on the comment section of the profit plan video that the 2.5 to 5% bankroll is per slate slash per sport, not necessarily daily. If you play five sports, for example, you can quickly be 12.5 to 25% of your total bankroll, which feels like a lot. Sorry for the long question, and thank you for Office Hours. These have helped more than you know. Awesome. Really good question. Very, very good question, in my opinion. So the way I look at this most of the time is I'm mostly looking at it from the perspective of kind of like on a daily basis, right? So like, yeah, I could play, you know, say it's like an NBA slate, right? It's like, okay, I could play, you know, maybe they have like a main slate, then they have like a turbo, and then like another turbo, and then like a night slate. You know, I could play 5% on the first turbo, 5% on the second turbo, and like 5% on the night slate. They're technically all uncorrelated because none of the games overlap, but it is like a lot of your bankroll to have in play, and it just might not like feel super comfortable. So what I've done personally, right, just talking about my own experience, is that I'll just do like 5% per day for the entire sport. It's like, okay, across the turbos and the main slate and across sites, I'm going to try and do like 5% max, okay? That's what I've found to be like most comfortable for me and still get action on all the different slates. Because I do think, like you're saying, you know, playing more slates is better than playing less slates. So like when you asked, would you advise picking one or two main slates to play? I would recommend playing as many slates as you can and just entering the lower stakes contest. And if you run out, that's okay. Actually, thinking about this further, the way I really recommend doing this is starting off with the smallest slates possible and then going to bigger ones. So like, I think maybe like football is like a good example of this, where I will like basically start with two gamers. Like, okay, I'm going to enter my low stakes stuff for two gamers. And then I'm going to enter low stakes stuff for four gamers and then six gamers or eight gamers, depending on like kind of, you know, the schedule changes based on like bye weeks and stuff like that. If you're earlier in the season, you might have like eight games in the morning. If you're later in the season, you might have like six if like teams are off. But that's kind of the way I think about it. Another thing I'll try to do, right, is like, okay, let's say I have, you know, $300, right? Okay, well, maybe I'll look at the two gamers and maybe I put like 50 in each. And then for like the four gamer, I'll put like 50. Sorry, I'll say it again. Now I can figure out where I want to go with the last 100, right? I've put equal bankroll into these four slates. Now what do I want to do with the remaining money that I have, right? And maybe you want to like play the main slate and take some shots. Like that's okay. You know, you're already exercising good bankroll management by like spreading out. So kind of up to you at that point. But I think the big question, the most important question asked here is, should I try and play a lot of uncorrelated slates or focus on one or two main slates? I would highly advise focusing on the uncorrelated slates, but maybe not playing 5% per uncorrelated slate. Maybe just think about it like a sport per day, like 5% max. And then I think that you'll end up, you know, spreading out quite a bit if you do that, right? Like if you look at baseball, like on like a big day, you know, today's not like a great example, maybe like a Tuesday, go to baseball. You can play one turbo, two turbos, and the night slate, all uncorrelated. And then if you still have, if you're just playing like low stake stuff, you know, I think they run like a $1 20 max, 25 cent 20 max. And, you know, you have a little bit of bankroll left over. Okay, then you go and put that in the main slate and then you get to like your 5% total or something, right? Maybe you're not playing showdowns. You know, it's up to you if you want to like mix in different styles, right? Be like, I mostly like classic. So that's like the perspective I'm coming at this from. Okay, well then just focus on, you know, your small slate classics. You get your bankroll in. When you have an additional bankroll, then you go put it in the main. That'd be like probably my advice here. Or you could go across slates. Across sites. Like, oh, okay, well, like FanDuel also has Express. FanDuel also has an after hours. You know, FanDuel also has like an early only, right? And some of these don't have the same games, right? Like this early only starts at 3:10 p.m. local time. And then the DK Turbo started at 3:40, right? So like there was one additional game on this FanDuel one. And then not only did they not run two gamer, they ran a five gamer, right? Well, now this kind of, you know, mixes things up a little bit too, right? So then you get some opportunity for like some different style slates as well. So going across sites is another option that you can consider. But if you want to keep it all together, right, managing it, late swapping and all that, I would go with the previous approach. If you want to go across sites, that's also a good approach too. All right. Good question to get us started. Next question, can I use the optimizer to build my set of 5,000 lineups and then use the contest sims to evaluate them, or am I only able to use contest sims against lineups built using the sim builder? Yes, you can do this. Okay, and I want to just read this from Sean. Sean, so the question is, can I use the optimizer to build my set of 5,000 lineups and then use a contest sim to evaluate them, or am I only able to use contest sims against lineups built using the sim builder? Okay, so let's talk about this, right? So let's go to tonight's two-game MLB slate. This will be like our ultimate demo today. Two-game night. And we go to a build. All right, we're just going to leave this everything like uncapped. It's two game slate. Can be kind of weird. Two small adjustments, two projections. Click build. So let's let this run real quick. All right, Lineups are running. We are running 5,000, so it might take a little bit longer than usual. But about halfway there. And just about finished up. All right, I'm going to end it here. It's crawling toward the end, so cutting this off seems like a fine option. Okay, so we get into the post build, right? And then you see that the contest sim starts running. So what's happening right now is we are putting different batches of 150 lineups into a contest with the lineups from your pool and simulating it, okay? Now, the number of lineups we use, you can see this in the contest tab. See this user entry section. This user entries determines how many lineups from your pool go into the contest sim with the field lineups, okay? And then these are the field lineups, right? It says flagship MME, flagship 20 max, all these different options, right? If you want to look at them and see what they look like, you can pop them out here. They'll load in a build, and then you can see what they look like. So what's happening here is that your lineups are going in batches into the contest sim, and then they're playing out all at the same time, right? And then they're returning ROIs for all of your lineups. This accounts for like your lineups taking away ROI from each other, like self-competitiveness in the sim. And then it also puts your lineups against the field lineups, right? Which is what we believe the lineups in your contests are most likely going to look like, okay? So this is evaluating your lineups, one against each other, right? 150 at a time, or however many entries you have. And then two against what we believe the field is going to be. Now, there is another way of like interpreting your question where you want to like basically sim your lineups against themselves. That's a concept that we've talked about in the past. We call it like self-simming, where you switch your field lineup source away from the SaberSim ownership sources and to one of the builds. Okay. Then you would come in here, you would switch it from flagship MME to say build one, rerun the contest sim. What happens there is that the builder takes your 5,000 lineups and then uses that as the field and then runs your lineups against each other. We don't necessarily recommend that option because, you know, someone's ownership could be like expected to be like 30%, but like in our sims, they're coming up maybe like 50% of the time. A build is not required to stay very close to the ownership projections, right? Like if somebody's 50% owned, but the builder just thinks like they're a phenomenal play, you know, you could get that player in like 90% of your lineups, like things like that happen in like NBA. And having the player in 90% of lineups isn't necessarily indicative of like what the field is going to do. So then you get like kind of like an inaccurate picture of what the lineups in your contest are going to look like. So we don't recommend doing the self-simming anymore. We did at like a certain period of time, but that was before we had this user entry. So basically the idea of like self-simming came into play, and then we realized, hey, we should be better accounting for self-competitiveness in the sim. So we started to do that via the user entries and this like batching of your lineups in your pool going into the contest sim at the same time. So one, that's how you do it. Two, those are like my thoughts on it and why we think just simming against the field lineups is better, but at least you know all the options and can kind of make a decision from here. So I hope that provides some kind of clarity as to what's going on here and how you adjust things to your liking. All right, next question. If I set correlation to zero, does that mean I will still get the correlation that is built into the game simulations? I believe this is true. And if so, why would we ever want to make the correlation higher than zero? Okay, good question. So we go to a build, right? And we go and say, look at any batter. Let's go look at like Shohei Ohtani, right? And we'll let this load. Okay, good batters. Go to Ohtani. Let's see if this loads. Might need to help it out. Do a little refresh here. And let's just let this come back. All right, let's try that again. All right, cool. So we see this graph, right? So we see all the players that Ohtani is correlated to. The Dodgers 9-hitter, the Dodgers 2-hitter, the Dodgers 3-hitter, right? All these players are correlated to Ohtani in some way, shape, or form, right? 0.14, 0.13, 0.09, right? Bunch of values here. So these are the raw correlations that come from the sims. Now, the reason that we choose to amplify these is one, to promote stacking, and two, because you don't need an optimal lineup to win. Okay. Now, when you run a build on 0-10, for instance, right? One, you're using just the raw correlations that the players have between each other. And then two, you're taking single game sims of each game on the slate. Now, when you start to increase correlation and you start to lower sim diversity, what's happening here is we're moving away from these single game optimals, and we are one, using more sims with when sim diversity is lower. So just taking groups of sims, 10 sims, 20 sims, and then using the average that the player scores across those sims to evaluate them. And then with the correlation, we're increasing the chances that players, we're basically amplifying those correlations that you saw, right? The 0.14, the 0.13, those become higher. And, you know, when Ohtani gets like, does well in the sim, that helps the other players in the, on the same team show up in the same lineup more. The reason we do that is because in baseball, especially, you don't need an optimal lineup to win. So there's a difference between an optimal lineup and a winning lineup. And this concept's like very, very important. The optimal lineup is the highest scoring lineup you could possibly get, right? If you have the best player across the slate, you put them all, you know, maybe you score like 270 points. Well, chances are you're not going to need 270 points to win. And then the contest that you're playing is also going to determine what lineups, how many points lineups need to score in order to win, right? You're playing a 100 man single entry, right? Versus playing a 25,150 max. For the 150 max, you're probably going to need more points, right? So a winning lineup in the 100 man single entry is going to look a lot different than a winning lineup in the 25,150 max, right? So there's this example like someone told me about one time, and I always remember it. It's a first place is 100,000, second place is 25,000, right? Let's say first place has 150 points and you're in second and you have 149. Okay. Two more points going from 149 to 151 is worth $75,000 to you, right? Those 2 points are worth that much money because it flips the standings. Now, every point beyond that, that you score from 151 to 155 to 160, right? All these additional points, they're actually worth $0 to you. You're not making any more money for scoring higher. So the idea is, you know, there are also going to be less combinations of lineups that score 155, that score 160. So what the contest sim helps you do is identify what like a winning lineup is, right? And then for that specific contest, I know we're not really talking about contest sims, but just kind of give you guys an idea of like contest specific ROIs and things like that. So the correlation slider is basically saying, hey, you know, we know that players are correlated to each other because, like, in order to get RBI, somebody has to be on base. In order to score a run, somebody needs to get a hit and hit you in. So there's a compounding effect with the scoring system. We want to take advantage of that and stack our lineups. If you're trying to build optimal lineups, you're probably building less stacked lineups because you're going to find, like, one guy over here, one guy over there, two guys on this team, two guys on that team, right? And you end up with maybe some, like, two stacks, three stacks. But for baseball, you don't need that, right? That's why we're like, hey, let's go five players from the same team. Let's go four players from the same team. So correlation slider is helping you to get, you know, points from groups of players that when one does well, other players have a chance of doing well and help you get winning lineups, as opposed to try and hunt for optimal lineups with play-by-play correlation alone. Hope that makes sense. You know, I know we talked about, like, a lot of different things there, but that's basically why we use the correlation slider in sports where you don't need an optimal. Go build for NFL Showdown, you're going to see sliders are 0-10, right? And that's because we've identified that you just want to rely on the play-by-play correlation at that point. All right. Good question. What is the advantage to uploading custom projections? Doesn't that defeat the purpose of the play-by-play sims that are run to create the Saber Sim projections? All right. Good question here. So the reason, I mean, I don't know. I can't explain why people do what they do, right? But what I'll say is, like, I think a widely believed kind of thing, right, is that if you take opinions from multiple sources and then kind of aggregate them and put them together, you get a little bit of, like, a blend. If, like, somebody's taking a stand here, but then this other person, this other, you know, source feels a little bit differently, you get a little bit more of, like, a blend, right? I think that's why people use custom projections, just to aggregate opinions on the slate, basically, in a nutshell. Now, how that affects the sim, we do a very good job of accounting for this and not letting it have too much of an effect on our play-by-play. So again, we pull up Ohtani, right? We'll keep continuing to use him as our example. So we see his range of outcomes here, right? This big kind of tail to the right, which is very normal for baseball players. Right now we have him at a, say, 12-point projection, right? We'll just use whole numbers. Well, what if, you know, you use custom projections and your custom projections move him from 12 to 14, okay? So you're outside source is saying, hey, we actually think Ohtani is going to get 14 instead of 12. Okay, well, what we do is we keep the same graph shape here because this is their results in the play-by-play sim, and we move it slash shift it right or left depending on your adjustment, and we basically add or subtract that many points from their outcomes in the sim. So we still use the play-by-play sim, but if Ohtani scores 15 in the play-by-play sim and you bumped him up to 14, which is 2 points, now he's going to score 17. If he scores 4 points and you bumped him up 2, now he's going to score 6 points. So we're keeping the graph shape and his range of outcomes consistent, but we're shifting it to match the new mean that you've now applied. And we don't actually visually show that, but we do show your projection change here. So, but that is what is happening behind the scenes. So you still get to use the play-by-play sims. You basically get to get our range of outcomes and then put the custom projections on top of it. So we handle it pretty well. We're pretty happy with the way that works, but that is what is happening when you use custom projections. All right. Don said, can you help me out for this late game slate in MLB right now in single entry for large field over 18,000? I have Rangers pitchers and Astros pitcher. I think the game is under. So do you think stacking the second game would be the way to go? If you are taking, you know, pitchers from both of the games, you really don't want that many players playing against them because they're negatively correlated, right? You come in here, you click on Jacob DeGrom, for instance. Got to do this again. Hold on. So we go. Refresh this real quick on a pull up DeGrom. All right. Let's try pull up DeGrom again. Hold on, I got to sneeze. Sorry about that. All right, cool. So this refreshed. Let's pull up DeGrom. All right, so we see if we scroll down here, right, DeGrom's highest negative correlations, very, very high, by the way, negative 0.3, negative 0.31, negative 0.32, right, are all the Houston batters. So we really want to limit our exposure to situations where we have both Houston batters and DeGrom and then vice versa, Houston pitchers and Rangers batters, right? On a two-game slate, I'm of the opinion that it's like okay to play, you know, maybe one, maybe two players max from like the opposing team, because you can get in a situation, right, where it's like, okay, maybe DeGrom goes six and then, you know, some of the guys do in the later half of the game, or like DeGrom can, you know, go six innings, give up one run, which is like a home run, and, you know, seven strikeouts. He does good. Somebody on the other team could do good. So I've experimented with like rules on short slates where it's like, if at least one team's pitcher, then use no more than one on the opposing team. And then I'll set a rule like this, and then I will leave don't use batters against opposing pitchers off. So what I'm doing here is I'm allowing the builder to say, hey, we can play one hitter against DeGrom, you know, or like one hitter against Hunter Brown, but like no more than that, right? One, it probably helps you get unique. And then two, I really do think, you know, like not every pitcher is going to throw a shutout, and there's only four starters, so one of them could be good, right? And this is basically saying like, hey, I'm only willing to allow a one-off against the pitcher that I'm facing. Like you said, Don, yeah, like we're basically writing a rule for one-offs. So that's what I think is viable here. You know, it could definitely help you to be different from the other lineups as well. So like this, like a one-off rule against your pitcher. And then, you know, where would all the other players come from, right? If you did this rule, you get two batters from this game max. Well, then now the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So it's other six batters have to come from the other game naturally, right? So with a rule like this, you're basically forcing yourself to play six batters from the opposing team or however that may work. So something like that would be what I recommend the most. All right, Jimmy said, when it comes to bankroll management, I started with $3,000 back in September and stuck with the profit plan, only playing with no more than 5% of bankroll. Today, I'm down to $400. Is it okay to reload with another $3,000? It's been a losing season. You know, your bankroll decisions are like definitely up to you, you know, however you want to go about it. If you want to like add to it and start over, like that's cool. You know, if you want to do a portion of that, if you want to do less, more, the other, right? What I would also say is like, hey, don't be afraid to like sign up for a builder view show. You know, we have one in 30 minutes. If you want to sign up, either email us or write in office hours and just say, hey, Andrew, can you review my baseball lineups from, you know, Tuesday, May 13th on DraftKings main slate or something like that. And, you know, we could see if we can make any tweaks, some small things that might help you to turn things around and just kind of see where you're at. But we're definitely here to help. So want to, you know, provide some assistance if I can, if you haven't done one, right? If you did one, you know, 3 weeks ago, like sign up again, you know, let's see if some of the changes that you made are working. Should we try additional things? Should we, you know, maybe not do something that we suggested? It's not having the effect that we intended, right? All of this is, you know, iterative, right? Build review show is every week. So we can kind of circle back with people and see like, hey, you know, how's it going? You know, is it working, et cetera. So don't be afraid to sign up again if you have in the past, but if you want to, you know, reload and keep going, then like that's totally up to you. And, you know, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't do that if you're comfortable doing so. All right. I think we are caught up with questions here, and we are also caught up in the Discord. Cool. So Jimmy said, I wasn't sure if adding more money would be profitable. It could be if you're entering good lineups, right? That's why it's so important to like, review your lineups and like make sure you're on the right track. Like if you're entering negative ROI lineups every day, then no, it's not profitable, right? You're going to continue to lose. But like if you are entering good lineups and you're just going through like a rough patch, then yes, it could be profitable to do it because you're basically allowing yourself more time to realize the equity that you haven't realized. So the biggest thing is like, hey, where actually are we, and are we moving in the right direction before we do that, right? That's kind of why I want to do a build review show with you, you know, if you're willing, but that's the big thing there. All right. Appreciate everybody tuning in. I'm going to go get ready for the build review show. I'll be back in about 30 minutes here. Until then, everybody take care. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.